together. Hebrews 10:24-25.
Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some,
but encouraging one another,
and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to open your word and to look into and to learn from you. Father, there aren't many kids here this morning, but Father, we just pray that whoever goes to Children's Church, Lord, that you would just bless them and give them a wonderful service there. Help us all, Lord, to be mindful of you and to seize this little window of time that we have to grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and if you're in fifth grade or below and would like to go to Children's Church, you may do so at this time. The last few weeks I've been teaching out of Psalms, but today I want to take a break from that, and I want us to just focus on our communion. I want to do that by reading from Colossians chapter 1. Verses 24 through 29, something you would not normally think of as a communion passage. But I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and that may differ from your version a little bit, but it's one that that I use, so it's one you get the most of. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29 say, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." Now, there is a lot in this passage, but I want to just take a quick look at verse 24. In the English Standard Version, and honestly in most of the versions that I read through, it's kind of awkwardly worded. So I put up here on the screen the New Living Translation above, and then the English Standard Version down below. But I want you to see because I thought the New Living Translation, I thought their translators translated this very clearly. It says, "I am glad." So this is the Word of God speaking to us. Okay. Oftentimes what we want to say right here is this is the Apostle Paul speaking. That is so misleading, because this is the Spirit of God speaking to us. It's not the man Paul's words who sat down and wrote this. This is God inspiring the man Paul to write according to his Spirit. So when we read the words of Scripture and we read that first person pronoun, I, don't think Paul, think I, God, I, the Holy Spirit, I, Jesus, I, the Word of God, I, the Bible. It says, "I am glad when I suffer for you in my body. For I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church." Communion Sunday is a good day to consider the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. On the first Sunday of each month, we reflect on how Christ's body was broken and his blood shed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. We consider and identify with how Jesus was sacrificed for our sin and the redemption of our souls. But today I want to really kind of try and enlarge your understanding of our communion with Christ. This is what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. He said, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, giving it to his disciples." So he took it, he blessed it, he broke it. Okay, he didn't have a smidgen of bread. He had like a big cake of bread. Okay, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup, and in the same way, he took the cup, but he didn't take a little jigger like this. He had his big cup, his meal cup. Every meal that I have at home, I'll have a large glass of water. That's what I prefer to drink with my meal. Back in these days, the missionaries hadn't gotten there with their water purification systems. So they had to take their water, and they kind of had to preserve it. And, you know, they, like us, found that by, you know, using some grapes, they could have some juice and some good wine, and they could have this liquid which they drank for hydration and for celebration. So he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So he looked, so he took it, and he said, "This is my blood." I don't know about you, but had I been sitting there in that upper room, that would have given me pause. This last week, Colleen phoned me on, I think it was Friday, wasn't it? She said, "Well, hurry home because there's a water leak in our house." So I ran home, and there was a little water leak. We had to replace the expansion tank that's above our hot water tank. Little pinhole just spraying out, making a big mess. Praise the Lord, she found it quickly, because the water tank's in the basement. It's not someplace we go all the time. Having had our basement flooded on several occasions, I was glad to just have a little bit down there. But so we had to turn the water off. We had to go to town, get a new tank, put it on. It all takes time, right? Well, tank's in the basement, so all the pipes have to drain. So when you turn the pipes back on, if you have galvanized pipes like we do, when you turn the water back on, what do you have in your water?
Rust.
Somebody say it. Rust. Right? Somebody said that?
Yes.
We haven't been using plastic so long that we've forgotten what happens when you have galvanized pipes. So, we went through, you know, we did all the things. I flushed all the faucets. I knew there'd be rust in the water, you know, blah, blah, blah. Later that night, we're getting ready for dinner. I go over to the refrigerator. I stick my glass in the refrigerator. And I run the most beautiful glass of golden fluid out of that refrigerator. Contaminated, was it? So I ran several glasses through to kind of flush it out and everything. We've got to give you a filter before I keep thinking about this. But after seeing that, I ran several glasses through, and I was over there to get water for our dinner. And then I did what I seldom do, which is after kind of grossing myself out with the water, I went in the spare bedroom and got down on the floor, and I pulled a case of pop out from underneath the bed where we keep it, and I brought a couple cans of pop, because I am not drinking that water. I don't care how long it's been flushed. Jesus took this cup, he lifted it, and he said, "This is my blood. Take, drink." Disciples had to be thinking about that. They had to be thinking, girls. But you know, Jesus had been preparing the disciples the whole time for what communion really is. See, he said, take and eat this communion. Take and eat. Take it. Ingest it. Digest it. Let it course through your veins. Consume its nutrients and absorb its life. Communion is a time when we look at how Christ has done everything that needs to be done to purchase our salvation. This is true and this is good. But what is the use, what is the use of consuming the body and the blood of Christ if it does not change us? Is this just a dessert that goes with our faith? A little something that goes after the main meal? Or is this communion our main meal? Does it change us? Does it give us strength? You know, in our science-driven world today, we have learned that a healthy diet is a balanced diet. And from Christ, we also learn that a healthy spiritual life is brought by a balanced spiritual diet. The balanced spiritual life consists of the work of Christ, our faith in Him, and our labor for Him. The work of Christ, you see, though, was suffering. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, a wonderful passage. Everybody should read this often. It's the picture of Jesus, who didn't hold on to His divinity, but let go of His divinity, and He emptied Himself by taking on the form, not just of a man, but of a servant. And being in this human form, He humbled Himself to be obedient, no matter what that obedience called for, even to the point of death, even death on the cross. You see, Jesus walked the road of poverty, He walked the road of self-denial, yet He found joy and peace in abundance. How is that possible? He poured Himself out for God and for man. In giving, He found life, an abundant life. Life that was enough to share with all those who believe. When we say we believe in Jesus, we are saying that we are agreeing that suffering has value. And the suffering has purpose. Yet, we find so often that when God chooses to bring suffering in our lives, what do we pray? Lord, stop the pain. Just stop it right now. We fail to see ourselves as we're called to see Christ. This was once grapes growing on a vine. The grapes were pulled. In Jesus' day, the grapes would have been hopefully washed, maybe not, thrown in, but then thrown into a big vat. And there they're crushed. Maybe even by someone walking on them. Hopefully after they wash their feet. And they smash them. And then a little bit of juice dribbled out the cracks and was collected. And it was smashed. It was crushed. You know that God smashes and crushes us? You ever think about that? Yeah. You know, all too often we give the devil credit for every bad thing that comes into our lives. Even though we know that not every bad thing that happens comes from Satan, we know that God uses these things, this pressure to change us, into the people he wants us to be. You guys know what an expert is, right? An ex is a has-been, and a spurt is a drip under pressure. So we see ourselves as experts. We don't see ourselves as so much. But what we do see is that God is applying the pressure to us so that we will be crushed? No. So that the impurities will be pressed out and removed. The sin will be stripped away. The false thinking, the weird desires, the things that God doesn't want for us will be brought out of us so he crushes us. Don't give Satan credit for what God is doing. Recently, I went to the refrigerator to get some grapes out. The grapes had been kicking around for a while. And they were in a Ziploc bag. What was wrong with the grapes? Anybody know? They're moldy. Because you see, when you take the grapes and you set them aside like that, they ruin. They have to be used, don't they? They have to be eaten. They have to be preserved. Now, you can take grapes and lay them out, spread them out, put a little heat on them, maybe a little sunshine, and they'll shrivel up, won't they? You have those sweet little raisins. Think you can make wine out of raisins? No, once you've made a raisin, it's a raisin. You can throw it in your olive branch, but that's about it. But if you take the grape, a single grape, and you crush it, and you pull the juice from it, and then you take and you pour all those individual grapes into the glass, it changes from grape to juice or wine. Can anybody take the grape out of that? You can't get a grape back out of that juice, can you? And so it also is with the people of God. Once we've been crushed, once we've been blended, once we've been mixed together in the church, which is the body of Christ, you can't pull the individuals out of it anymore. We're all one unit, working together. The body of Christ. Sue. I think I'm on slide number 9, which is probably about 7 slides ahead of where you are. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." See, we, standing as individuals, are separated from one another, and we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to rot. We're vulnerable to dry up. We're vulnerable to be destroyed. But together, when the pressure of God comes upon us and presses us out, we become more than we ever would have imagined that we could be. Don't run from your challenges. Don't run from your problems. Don't blame them on the devil. Embrace them and stick close to God. You know, when we look at this communion, I can't help but think also about what's in here. Now, there's not many ingredients in here. But I know one of the things that we started with was a little kernel of wheat. Wheat's pretty good, isn't it? You ever take a big spoonful of wheat and pop that in your mouth? Commence to eating? You chip a tooth on that stuff. You can choke on it. So you know what we do? We grind it up. We make it into flour. You ever take a big spoonful of flour and put that in your mouth and start chewing it up? You see, flour is good, but flour is not finished. And in the same way, we as believers, we don't want to stop in the process and say that we're done. We want to continue on all the way to the end until all the ingredients have been added. And it's there that we can come together and become what God wants us to be. A mouthful of flour is nasty. But you know, a slice or a morsel of a lovely bread or a cake is delicious. See, the difference isn't in the ingredients. The difference is in the preparation. Are you allowing God to prepare you for what He wants you to be? Now this morning, we take communion. And this morning, we think of how the body has been broken. Jesus' body broken and spread all around the world. So, I can't quite show you, but here's all these little morsels in here. And here's Irondale Church right there. There's that church in Port Townsend over there. There's one in Falls Bow, Seattle, Los Angeles. By Kali, there's one in Fiji right there. Broken and spread. His body. Active and working. You see, when we take communion, we're taking so much more than a piece of bread and a sip of juice. I said last week or the week before, whenever it was, and I was talking about how upset I was at the football players that would kneel or sit for the national anthem. It's because they're protesting America. Don't they understand that they are America? And you know, when Christians complain about the church, don't we understand that we're complaining about ourselves? Don't we get it? That if the church isn't functioning, it's because I'm not doing my job. I'd love to blame you and make my life a lot easier. Because I don't like to change, frankly. But I really want to challenge you. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to stay in every old, dried up, dead church that's on this planet. But I am saying that every one of us need to understand that we're the body of Christ. And we need to be moving toward life. And we need to be becoming a part of the body of Jesus. You know, the Bible asks us, you know, I can't think of the quote, but it basically says, can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of you? And can one church member say to another church member, I have no need of you? I don't want you. You're not important to me. We need to be pulling together, finding the value in one another. Because as we come together, all the grapes disappear and we become one juice, the body of Christ. Inseparable. All we can do is consume the unity that is there. My challenge to you this week is to become the unity that is Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. No longer standing alone, letting your individualism shine, which is a big message we get in our world. But allow yourself to be absorbed into Him. Allow yourself to be taught by Him. Allow yourself to be freed by Him. I'm running out of time here, but I want to ask the elders if they would come. And we're going to have to hurry to get out of here by noon. But I really want to challenge you today when you take this communion to take it in a brand new way. Really, John, would you come and help serve communion? Please. Bill, would you help serve communion? And I will take the other station. Some of our elders must be home watching football. As you take communion this morning, take it not only with Jesus in mind and what he did, but take it also in mind of what the body of Christ does and is. This is us, broken and distributed all throughout the world. This is us.
Thank you.
message this week, and I thought how wonderful it is that we can take the blood of Christ, the very life of the church, our forgiveness, but how we have to ingest it for it to have value. Because honestly, if you take it and put it somewhere else, it's pretty much useless. I really want to challenge you today to not be useless Christian, but to be a useful one. Are you doing what Jesus wants you to do? He was crucified for my sins. It's a challenging time because it reminds me of my inadequacies. But today it reminds me that He's called me to not be inadequate, but to be a part of His church and to be everything that He left here in order to continue to minister His word. So in it I find strength and I find power. I don't find the sadness of the cross, but I'm the joy of the future. I don't remember any longer what has happened, but I remember what is supposed to happen, what's going to happen. So it's here that I find life. The sorrow is washed away with this little swallow of the life of Christ. Because as His body and His blood pump through my being, I am changed. We are changed. We come to life, not just life in the body, but also life in the soul. We are transformed and made brand new because of the work of Jesus Christ. As often as you take this, take it in remembrance of Him. Let us stand together. Worship team, please come. Today is a message really designed for the church. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're just a grape rolling down the hallway. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you resist all the things that God is doing in your life, even if you're in church every Sunday, you're nothing but a grape floating in a glass of wine. So be transformed. Be set free. Be made new. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And receive the life that He has for you from this day forward. For all time's sake. Be a part of the cure for sin.